This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He's also a longtime terrorism expert, a professor on Middle East studies, and the author most recently of The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. Today we want to get his thoughts on the latest controversy to erupt in the Middle East, this over Israeli commandos boarding the so-called humanitarian flotilla off the coast of Gaza on Monday. And Dr. Faris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Real briefly, for the sake of our listeners, why was this blockade in place, and what do we know about this flotilla?
Well, the blockade, as we all know, is not something secret, is a result of the ceasefire that occurred between Israel and the Hamas militia organization after their war, stretching from December 08 to early first days of 09, at the end of which Israel accepted not to continue with its operations. There will be a ceasefire. It will encircle Hamas, and then the international community will have to come at some point and work on disarming Gaza on the one hand, so that the Israelis could lift off the encirclement or the blockade.
In terms of this particular flotilla, you wrote an opinion piece that I believe will appear in newspapers around the country tomorrow that says the fact that this was not a UN commissioned flotilla, it was not part of some non-governmental organization, means that it didn't have quite the pristine intentions that they would like us to believe. Explain that.
Well, look, on the legal level, it's very, very clear, internationally speaking. I mean, the international waters are not just open. You have to be a international non-government organization authorized by one port to go to another port. It's like for flights. You cannot just take a flight and then decide which port you're going to land on. But that's only the legal aspect. Second, we've seen that behind that flotilla, there are a number of organizations. Many of these organizations are Islamists and linked to the jihadist movement, and it's not a secret. It was for weeks on the news and in Al Jazeera and elsewhere. But more important in this case, and that should draw attention, you had a number of governments, not just Syria and Iran, but one government, that would be the Turkish AKP cabinet, which is a member of NATO. A number of their officials have been speaking about it, have been saying that this flotilla is going to break the blockade. I mean, internationally speaking, if you want to send a flotilla to break a blockade, this is an act of war, even if you use civilians, and that would bring about responsibilities. This is why, regardless of the actual drama that happened, which is sad, any loss of life is just sad, Israel and its opponents, in this case the flotilla and their supporters, if they take it to the international tribunal, you know, there will be a long discussion about who's behind it, what was it about. Of course, there will be responsibilities of the management of the operation, the Israeli operation, but there's also a greater responsibility of the management and design of the flotilla to begin with. But let me end here on the tactical level and saying the actual goal of the flotilla was to thrust through the blockade, meaning to open up the blockade so that Hamas will be able to receive, not just the civilians in Gaza, Hamas will be able to receive aid, of course, and it's going to be from Iran, from Syria. Otherwise, had it been only humanitarian, it's very simple. They would go to the United Nations, give them the stuff. The United Nations can and has been able to, after they check it with either Egyptians or Israelis, get that aid to the civilians inside Gaza.
We're talking with Dr. Waleed Faris. And Dr. Faris, you mentioned the unfortunate loss of life. Do you think most of the outrage directed at Israel is because of the specific tactics involved, or do they just see Israel as the villain in this entire standoff?
Look, this is not the first time. Nobody is naive among the analysts who have been, you know, looking at the region for the last 30 years. This is an operation. This is a geopolitical operation, which goal was to thrust through the Israeli defenses into Gaza. So certainly they were prepared in the media. There were statements made even before the Israelis would attack the ships. The foreign minister of Turkey was already sitting at the United Nations. I mean, hours after the incident, he was already delivering a speech. Now, all that has to be understood from a much bigger scale. There will be, and there should be, an investigation of the actual engagement, as in any other case, but we need also to look, especially as Americans, to the whole big issue. And I have advanced at least three arguments for what's behind the operation on the strategic regional level. Number one, keep in mind that President Obama was trying to bring together Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, the Prime Minister of Israel, after tremendous pressure by the Arab League and by the Organization of Islamic Conference. He was about to bring them together to begin a real negotiation about the future. And, you know, the convoy is launched at that particular time as if it was aimed at crumbling this initiative. Number two, as important, is the fact that, you know, they, the Iranian and the Syrians, were last week, I remind our listeners, shipping missiles to Hezbollah and the Bekaa. The debate was about what was going on in the Bekaa Valley in Syria. And now, obviously, the debate is about what's happening with the flotilla. And third point, of course, you have the domestic consideration of each one of these governments, including now we see clearly that Mr. Erdogan and the AKP, who have political trouble inside Turkey, obviously are going to make speeches about the flotilla, bringing back some of the points that they have lost on domestic issues inside Turkey.
And Dr. Farris, a couple of months ago when Israel announced it would add some new construction to East Jerusalem, it took almost no time for the Obama administration to condemn that. They've been relatively quiet in the wake of this. What do you make of that?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Number one, the Obama administration understood from the previous engagement with the Israelis that there are a lot of people in the United States, first of all in the public and then in the legislature, and even beyond within the administration, who do not want to see the United States taking clear side in terms of whenever there is an incident like that. So the Obama administration also didn't want to jeopardize the actual one shot they still have to bring together Israelis and Palestinians. I mean, if they fire back as they did during the settlement issue, you know, of course, the negotiations between Palestinians and Israelis are going to go down. Besides, I think there was a wise assessment in the administration that this is not the issue of settlement. This is the issue of an international flotilla that has been organized by regimes and organizations that could happen anywhere else. This is on high seas. So they are taking their time to understand the details of what happened. But more important, I guess, for the Obama administration, they are reading it much differently now. They, i.e. the Obama administration, were about to engage in a second round of negotiation. Someone in the region was not, you know, happy with that. And this is really directed not just against Israel. It's really directed against the United States.
Last 30 seconds here, Dr. Farris, you mentioned there's still one shot at peace here, but given the obvious stress between Israel and Hamas and even Israel's own icy relationship with the U.S. for over the past several months, do you really see a reasonable hope for progress there?
As long as Iran's regime, Syria's regime, Hezbollah, Hamas, and all their backers, including now the new league of so-called moderates who are acting with the radicals, that would be the AKP government in Turkey and the Qatar regime, as long as this group is obstructing the Palestinian-Israeli renewed negotiations under the United States, it's bad news, unfortunately.
Dr. Farris, thank you so much for being with us and helping us understand this a whole lot better.
Thank you.
Dr. Waleed Farris is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He is a terrorism expert. His most recent book is entitled The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.